Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning. Welcome to the Vince Coakley radio program. Glad you are back with us. A lot of interesting things going on. We're going to address a couple of major hotspots. Well, three of them in particular that will probably dominate some of the news headlines over the next few days. One of the stories related to the possibility of war with the Iranian threats they are breathing against Israel. In fact, now we're at a place where some type of attack is expected within the next couple of days. Israel is bracing for what could happen, wherever that might be on this planet. The United States also taking steps to keep Americans safe by restricting employees' travel, that is, government employees. And true to form, not only is there a threat to Israel, there's also a threat to journalists. These are folks who really have little respect for human beings in general. We'll tell you about what is happening on that front. We also have a lot going on in the political realm with the two presidential candidates. One of them, Donald Trump, now just days away from the first criminal trial. A couple of the Drudge headlines on this, referring to the first criminal trial. One of the key witnesses, Cohen, saying, "Prepare for a surprise." What will that surprise be? Who knows what that will be? Also, on the other side of the equation, for the past few weeks, we've been watching some interesting poll numbers, and I know polls can be all over the place. And keep in mind, it's still April. Between now and November is an eternity. I mean, that's the reality. But there seems to be general agreement that the polls are shifting in Biden's favor. What's going on there? We will talk about what is going on in terms of the numbers. By the way, I'm debating whether I want to share this today or on Monday. My good friend Steve Dace, and Steve and I are pretty much in the same place in the presidential contest. And he did a very long post on X this morning. And it amazes me because so many times when Steve Dace writes something or says something, I feel like he is basically communicating what's in my brain. So either today or on Monday, I'm going to share his very long post because I think there is some wisdom in what he has communicated. And I think it's kind of an interesting warning. One of the other things I was reflecting on, and I may say more about this later on, if I remember correctly, I think the Republican convention comes first. I'm just kind of gaming this out. Let's say, for instance, the Democrats decide to, behind the scenes, they decide, you know, we're going to ditch Joe Biden. But we're going to wait until after the Republican convention, after the Republican Party goes all in for Trump. And then we'll make a change at the convention. Change candidates, which would immediately change the dynamic in this entire race. I'm convinced of that. You bring somebody clean into this contest, I think we'd have a different race. I really do. And I think that's something the Republican Party needs to think about. And when I say clean, I'm not talking about somebody I'm going to support. I'm saying clean as in somebody free of scandal, free of old age, free of senility, and someone fresh? Yeah, I really think strategically that could very well happen. And then the Republican Party is left in a place where we have a scandal-ridden man. And who knows what's going to go on with criminal charges, civil cases, by the time the convention rolls around. I'm just thinking ahead here. Perhaps, hey, we've got plenty of time to talk about this, because this is something that's going to go on for months. Months. So, I want to begin, though, in talking about the FISA bill. I've expressed concern about this for quite some time, because at the end of the day, I don't trust the government. I really don't. The whole point of the way our government is set up is to protect us from them. And I think this is, again, one of those situations with FISA. This was an overreaction to 9/11, which caused us to accept something that we should have never accepted. The development on this morning, this is actually breaking news. They had a procedural vote on the latest revision to the FISA legislation, and they have advanced it. There was a floor revolt. And so as a result, this was changed. Now the House has advanced the bill to reauthorize the U.S.'s Warrantless Surveillance Authority. That phrase alone ought to be a big hint that this is not a good idea. Warrantless Surveillance Authority. This opens the measure up for debate 2 days after a band of conservatives blocked a previous version of the legislation from moving ahead. The chamber cleared the rule, which governs debate for legislation. The vote was 213 to 208. And keep in mind, this doesn't approve the legislation. It just clears the House to a point where they can have a debate. So there will be a final vote on the bill to reauthorize Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, for 2 years. It institutes a number of reforms to the spying powers. A final vote in the legislation, in addition to a number of amendments, is slated for around 11:45 a.m., just before the end of this broadcast. There is an April 19th deadline to reauthorize the program. Section 702 of FISA allows for the warrantless surveillance of foreigners located abroad, which proponents have said is key to fighting terrorism. But in that process, the government also sweeps up communications from Americans who are interacting with individuals being spied on. This has always been the trick. That dynamic prompted a group of privacy hawks to push for an amendment that would add a warrant requirement before the government's able to review information collected on Americans. The amendment will also receive a vote today. Advancement of the FISA bill is a significant development in the months-long battle over reauthorizing the U.S.'s warrantless spying powers. Now, 19 Republicans tanked the procedural vote for a previous version of the FISA bill, blocking it from moving forward. That was an embarrassing blow for Mike Johnson. So lawmakers had to go back to the drawing board. Well, they have. And now this has cleared for a vote. The debate is underway now. The vote was 213 to 208 again to allow debate and a final vote, which may happen as early as 11:45 this morning. We will keep you posted on what happens. I'm also curious. I've reached out to all of the people I trust to get their perspective on this. I'm talking about people like Ralph Norman, Jeff Duncan, Thomas Massey. I assume they're busy with voting, but when I hear back from any one of them, I will pass on what they have to say about this piece of legislation as to whether they find it acceptable to vote on. So we'll keep you posted on this and any other breaking news during the course of the broadcast.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Very appropriate music as we talk about FISA legislation in about an hour and a half. Supposedly, a vote on this legislation is coming up. They have already had the vote to allow the debate. Once that debate is complete, they will vote, and this thing could be passed this morning or early this afternoon. We will keep you posted throughout this broadcast. And as I mentioned, I'm very curious to hear from the liberty lovers, the reliably conservative members of Congress who I count on for their perspectives on legislation, that there's no way on God's planet that we can thoroughly read before it is rushed through. You know how these folks work. Before we go into more of this, by now I'm sure you're familiar with the tragic death of Janie Thompson. And we wanted to let you know we've recently been in contact with Bo Thompson, and he would like us to express his family's deep gratitude for the outpouring of condolences, sympathy, and love following the loss of their daughter and sister Janie. They're very grateful for the WBT listening family. They absolutely appreciate you. A private memorial service for Janie is planned for family, close friends, current and past colleagues. A video live stream of this will be available for those who are not able to attend in person. You can visit WBT.com and you will see details on how to view the service. Members of the WBT listening family can also continue to leave messages for Bo and his family at WBT.com, and we hope that you will do so. I've mentioned in recent days, and I've got a friend who's trying to twist my arm to possibly get involved here personally. Animal control. They're beginning another phase of their construction. In fact, that construction starts today. They're losing 47 kennels. 47 dogs need to be adopted or fostered. Even if you can just short-term foster for about 3 weeks, it will save lives. So today, as in right now, this moment, reach out to Animal Care and Control or go out to 8315 Byron Drive to see how you can help out. So this is an opportunity for you to make a difference in the life of a very loving best friend. And who knows, it may be your best friend for life. Just reach out, and there's a tentative plan to go out there myself today. If I do, I will let you know how it goes and whether I get myself into more trouble. I mentioned some of the things that are going on behind the scenes in advance of a possible attack on Israel. This is in response to their military action that was taken against Iran. We're at the place now, in fact, the Wall Street Journal is reporting an Iranian attack is expected on Israel in the next couple of days. Israel preparing for an imminent direct attack from Iran. Now, supposedly, Tehran has yet to decide the actual timetable for this. But they're preparing for a direct attack on southern or northern Israel as soon as today or tomorrow. A person briefed by the Iranian leadership, however, said while plans to attack are being discussed, no final decision has been made. So they are obviously bracing for this. The concern is This could actually trigger an all-out regional war. The assault from Iranian soil has emerged as one of the main scenarios expected by the Jewish state and its allies. A bombardment of drones and precision missiles could come within the next 48 hours. And not surprisingly, we've watched the price of oil go up a little bit today in advance of this concern about a possible military reaction from Iran. An Iranian missile and drone barrage would represent a retaliation for the deadly attack on its diplomatic compound in Syria last week. The Islamic Republic blames that on Israel. Leadership in Iran saying Israel will be punished for the assault. Punished! But did not specifically say what form that will take. As for the U.S., U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem issued a security warning to government employees and their families, imposing travel restrictions on their movements as Israel braces for Iran to retaliate. The alert, which does not explicitly mention Iran, was issued as leaders in Tehran vowed to respond to an Israeli strike. Here is the direct quote out of an abundance of caution. U.S. government employees and their family members are restricted from personal travel outside the greater Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and Beer Sheva areas until further notice. So there's the concern that not only could Israelis be in harm's way, but also this could be a situation where Americans could be in harm's way, and they want to make sure that Americans are as safe as possible. What's also interesting, and we'll talk about this coming up, if you had a situation like this, and Iran is threatening, they're breathing threats against Israel, who would you turn to? Which country would you turn to possibly fend off an attack? Like to join our conversation, it's 704-570-1110. I told you I reached out to several members of Congress on this FISA bill and the revision in this because the previous bill was thought to be unacceptable to enough members of Congress that they could not even get to the procedural vote to allow this to advance to debate. Now, the debate's underway. The vote on this final piece of legislation is just over an hour away. I've heard back from Congressman Ralph Norman from upstate South Carolina. So I asked him the question, what are your thoughts on this latest FISA bill? The improvements made due to voting down the rule yesterday are these. Number one, the five-year extension is cut to 24 months. This puts FISA into the Trump administration for his changes and modifications. Ralph Norman's being very hopeful that Donald Trump will be in office. Number two, warrants are in as an amendment to vote on today. Three, the elimination of the selling of data by the authorities, the Davidson Amendment to be voted on separately. This is why I voted for the rule this morning. And it sounds like he's more inclined to vote for this piece of legislation. By the way, I hope you understand I'm not mocking Ralph Norman at all. Just about, I do have concerns about legislation passed with the idea of, well, we can make changes in a couple of years or whatever. Because there's just a whole lot of presumption in there. But I hope these things are enough. I'm just going to put it that way. I'm not a fan of this piece of legislation at all, of reauthorizing FISA, period. But the reality is something's going to pass in some form. I mean, that's the bottom line here. And I would like it to be as let's just say, I'd like the assault on civil liberties to be as to reduce those assaults as much as possible. We'll just put it that way. Still very curious to get a perspective on this from Congressman Thomas Massey, who I very much respect his perspective as well. In fact, if I hear anything additional on this, I will certainly pass that information on to you, and we'll keep you posted on the vote that is expected to take place within the next hour or so. In any case, you'll hear what happens one way or the other right here on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. By the way, it looks like Thomas Massey. I know why I've not heard from Thomas Massey. Here's what he posted on X last night. I will manage floor debate on the FISA 702 reauthorization rule, which makes in order six votes on amendments, including one that will require the FBI to get a warrant before searching for Americans' data. A similar rule failed yesterday, preventing a vote on warrants. So, any case, we'll keep you posted on what happens here. So I told you the United States is reaching out on the international stage to get some help on this issue of Iran. There's the concern Iran is going to attack Israel. And before this happens, the West would like to somehow intervene to prevent that. So who do they reach out to? CNBC reports the West urges China to intervene with Iran amid fears of a direct attack on Israel. Western diplomats have mounted pressure on China to prevent Iran from escalating tensions in the Middle East with a direct retaliatory strike against Israel. China. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken earlier this week spoke with the Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi and other counterparts in Turkey and Saudi Arabia. Blinken asked the foreign ministers to make clear escalation is not in anyone's interest, and the country should urge Iran not to escalate. We've also engaged with European allies and partners over the last few days, urged them as well to send a clear message to Iran. Escalation is not in Iran's interest. It's not in the region's interest. It's not in the world's interest. Germany. The Chancellor, Olaf Scholz, is visiting China next week. He's also been in contact with Beijing over the issue of Iran, where China has some influence. As you know, U.S. and European officials are treading a fine line with China, denouncing the country as a trade risk while also urging it to use its considerable diplomatic sway with countries isolated by Western sanctions. Beijing is a critical trade partner of Russia and Iran, as one of the last recipients of their oil exports. The three countries are also members of the China-led BRICS coalition of emerging markets. So, there's that. You wonderful folks in the Chinese communist government, would you help us? Okay, go figure. And there's another threat that needs to be talked about, and if this is not viewed as a story that is a big international concern in terms of journalists, there is some self-interest involved here. Because The Atlantic has an interesting story about a deadly message that Iran is directing toward journalists. What in the world are they up to now? This ought to be an interesting story.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
And if you need help, call on the Chi-Coms. They'll be glad to help you. My goodness. Jeff writes in on the subject of diplomacy efforts to reach out to China to get Iran not to do anything to Israel. Jeff writes, the U.S. going out and begging once again. China seen as a solution to a problem once again. Rinse and repeat. Yeah, these folks are really delusional, aren't they? They have lost their ever loving minds. All right. You've got to venture just for a moment into ADHD world for me. Look, there's a squirrel. The squirrel in this case, I was just laughing here, looking at the profile of my good friend, Congressman Thomas Massey. Are you ready for this? This is so cool. This is so Thomas. U.S. Representative for Kentucky 4th District. Those of you not familiar with that area, it's the area of northern Kentucky that's directly across the river from Cincinnati. Here's what it says for his profile. Engineer, farmer, inventor, Appalachian American, and hashtag political science denier. Pronoun, papaw. That is so Thomas. Really good stuff here. He has a great sense of humor as well. We are just under an hour, allegedly, from the vote on legislation to reauthorize FISA. And if that happens during the course of this broadcast, if it's completed, we will let you know what develops. I checked out a story in The Atlantic that it's just absolutely chilling. It really is. You know, it's funny, the people who are trying to portray anybody, you know, other than the Democrat Party and its stooges and the people involved in the big social media companies who practice censorship all the time. This is all nothing compared to what some of these countries are doing around the world, like Iran. The Atlantic has a story, Iran's deadly message to journalists abroad. You know what the message is? This is a piece written by Arash Azizi. And he tells this story that should send a chill down your spine. On March 29th, a friend of mine, the Iranian journalist Pouria Zarati, was crossing the road outside his Wimbledon home in southwestern London to get to his car. A man approached him and asked for change. Then another man, with his face covered, gave Zarati a bear hug, while the first man stabbed him several times in the back of his thigh. Can I remind you where this happened? Southwestern London. This isn't in the Middle East. This was no petty street crime. The assailants left Zarati's iPhone, brand new AirPods, pricey watch, and wallet full of cash untouched. With the help of a driver, they fled the scene and then the country to an undisclosed destination, according to British authorities. London police are investigating the attack as a potential case of terrorism. Its methods suggest the assailant's intention was not to kill Zarati, but to hurt him in a way that would warn all of us Iranian journalists working in the West, you could be next. The Islamic Republic chose Zarati as a target for a reason. For the last 3 years, he's been a lead anchor on Iran International, a Saudi-funded Persian language broadcaster based in London and Washington. Launched in 2017, the channel's made itself a thorn in the side of the Iranian regime. Some of my friends were among the channel's founders, and I've done occasional work for it as a writer and commentator. Iran International was an unapologetic champion in the nationwide protest that broke out in Iran September 2022. The network spread the opposition's message and gave airtime to its would-be leaders. In short, it played a role, a similar role to that of Al Jazeera during the Arab Spring of 2011. The regime's response was ferocious. The Minister of Intelligence declared Tehran considered the channel to be a terrorist organization. In November 2022, with no hint of subtlety, a major Iranian news agency published a wanted dead or alive poster emblazoned with faces of four anchors from Iran International. Wow. Zarate was one of them. Since then, he's only added to the government's fury. He interviewed Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel, March of 2023, and continues to host harsh critics of the regime on his show. Another face on the poster, Seema Sabeh, a journalist who had worked for BBC Persian for more than a decade before joining Iran International 2018 as a lead anchor. Back in December, an ITV news investigation uncovered a plot commissioned by associates of Iran's closest ally, Syria's Bashar al-Assad, to assassinate Sabeh and a fellow anchor on the channel. Farhad Farizad, also a friend of mine, Sabeh and Farizad got lucky. The people smuggler hired to do the job turned out to be a spy working for a Western intelligence agency. And he broke the story to a British outlet. My goodness, talk about dodging a bullet here. When Sabeh first heard about the attack on Zarate, she felt shock and rage. She told me in a phone conversation in indescribable anger, "How can you be in your own home in Britain and be attacked right outside it?" Shortly afterward, police told her to leave her residence. I spoke with her more than a week later. She still hadn't been able to return home. Farizad now runs a popular Iran International show from Washington, where we meet for coffee recently. To be honest, he told me the London attack, I was hoping this was just a criminal action by local gangs. The evidence so far shows this is probably not the case. This is a reminder of who we're dealing with, folks. They are deadly serious. Deadly serious. Coming up, we will talk about the trial for Donald Trump. Starts on Monday. Brace for this one. Straight ahead. Welcome to hour number two of the Vince Coakley radio program. Still to come in the broadcast, we are going to talk about what's going on with the upcoming trial for Donald Trump. And boy, has Donald Trump let loose on social media. Sounds really interesting. We'll tell you about this particular story coming up. First, just want to remind you to keep our friend Bo Thompson and his family in your prayers. We mentioned earlier in the broadcast, we have recently been in contact with Bo Thompson. He wanted us to express his family's gratitude, his gratitude for the outpouring of condolences, sympathy, and love following the loss of their daughter and sister Janie. They're very grateful for the WBT listening family. A private memorial service for Janie is planned for family, close friends, current and past colleagues. A live video stream will be available for those unavailable to attend in person. Please visit WBT.com and you will see details on how you can view the service. Members of the WBT listening family can continue to leave messages for Bo and his family at WBT.com. As I mentioned, keep this family in your prayers for all that they are dealing with in this particular season. I mentioned to you that these next few months, I believe, are going to be very, very volatile. And there are so many things that can happen between now and then. I still believe that, and I'll repeat it again, I just do not believe ultimately both of these men, Biden and Trump, will be on the ballot in November. I still think one or both will not be on the ballot. There's a whole lot that can happen. I mean, this is like an eternity between now and November. And there's so many things that can happen. First, we have a court case that's coming up. It starts Monday, jury selection. AP reports of the 1.4 million adults who live in Manhattan, a dozen are soon become the first Americans to sit in judgment of a former president charged with a crime. That's pretty awesome responsibility, wouldn't you say? Jury selection set to start Monday in former President Donald Trump's hush money case. The first trial among four criminal prosecutions of the presumptive Republican presidential nominee. The proceedings present a historic challenge for the court, the lawyers, and the everyday citizens who find themselves in the jury pool. Joshua Steinglass, one of the trial prosecutors, said there's no question picking a jury in a case involving someone as familiar to everyone as former President Trump poses unique problems. Those problems include finding people who can be impartial about one of the most polarizing figures in American life and detecting any bias among prospective jurors without invading the privacy of the ballot box. I mean, this is going to be tricky. Can you imagine the questions that will be raised that you have to ask? You've got to get at it. Obviously, you don't want a rabid Trump hater to be on this jury. Now, the prosecution may want that, but it's going to be very challenging. There's also the risk that people may try to game their way onto the jury to serve a personal agenda. Can you imagine what is in store for all of the jurors in this case? The potential book deals, all the media attention. Oh, yeah. This is why somebody might want to be in on this. On the flip side, they may be reluctant to decide a case against a politician who has used a social media megaphone to tear into court decisions that go against him and has tens of millions of fervent supporters. You know, imagine somebody who's thinking, hey, if I find this guy guilty, are people going to come after me? It's a fair question. Still, if jury selection will be tricky, it's not impossible, according to John Jay College of Criminal Justice Psychology professor Margaret Bull Cavera. There are people who look at the law, look at the evidence that's shown, and make a decision. And the job of the judge and the attorneys right now is to figure out who those people are. Trump, for his part, has pleaded not guilty to fudging his company's books as part of an effort to conceal payments made to high claims of extramarital sex during his 2016 campaign. He denies the encounters, contends the case is a legally bogus, politically engineered effort to sabotage his current run. He's going on trial in a criminal court system where juries have decided cases against a roster of famous names, John Gotti, Harvey Weinstein, and Trump's own company. So that's what is expected here. Michael Cohen, Trump's former attorney on this hush money trial, he is going to be a key witness here. And he says, prepare to be surprised. I wonder what the surprise will be. And he's already gone after Michael Cohen, Trump has, and I'm sure this is not going to stop. There will be more attacks on him. But all of this begins unfolding on Monday, and it is going to be an absolute circus. I can guarantee you that. I think, again, this is just a tumultuous time. It will be. By the way, he's made a prediction about Donald Trump's pick for vice president. Michael Cohen says guaranteed it'll be a woman. He's right now so deep down to the dumpster when it comes to women. He needs to show that he's not the sexist misogynist that he is. And I think if he could find a woman of color, that would be better. But he won't do it. I see somebody like a Nancy Mace or maybe Senator Katie Britt because of their looks. Really? Oh, my goodness. I mean, I'm trying to find humor in all of this, folks. And there's yet another story that is fresh from this morning. And it's threats that are coming out of Mr. Trump. We're going to tell you what all of this is about, what he is threatening as his trial is just around the corner.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Bear with me while I respond here to John. There's a listener who was curious about something I shared earlier. And if I don't do this now, I'm going to forget. I'm terrible about that. My memory is just shot. That's what happens when you have ADHD. It goes just like that. So let's talk about what's coming out of Donald Trump just days before he goes on trial. Mediaite reporting, Trump threatens reaction to pending sham trial and fundraising email. 72 hours until all hell breaks loose. Hyperbole, anyone? My goodness. Former President Donald Trump fired something of a warning shot today. It happened this morning in the form of a fundraising email, the subject of which reads, 72 hours until all hell breaks loose. At issue, Trump's scheduled appearance in court for the first day of a New York state trial focusing on alleged hush money payments to adult film actress Stormy Daniels in the run-up to the 2016 general election. Never one to miss an opportunity to raise funds, the Trump campaign sent out a fundraising email in which it insisted all hell would break loose on Monday, adding, now's the time to help me save America and chip in. Buried deep in the email is a call for peaceful demonstrations, which reads, if we fail to have a massive outpouring of peaceful, patriotic support right here, right now, all hell will break loose. Some may read the campaign email as using hyperbolic language designed to inspire Trump's most loyal supporters to donate cash and, well, in their eyes, save America. Others might see this as a figurative call to arms, echoing Trump's similar call to Trump supporters to peacefully march to the Capitol building on, guess when? You know the date. January 6, 2021, which turned into a violent riot of protesters looking to overturn the free and fair election Trump lost to President Joe Biden. I'm not even going to read this email. Folks, I mean, you asked for it. You're going to get more of this. This is just messy. It's just all around messy. And I can't help to think that all of these things are going to be a huge, huge distraction over the coming months. But, hey, not my circus. I'll just put it that way. It is not my circus. So on the other side, there seems to be a growing sense of optimism on the Biden side because they have seen some positive polling numbers for the past few months. And they've kind of traced this back to the State of the Union address. There's been kind of a gradual uptick in the polls. Yeah. This was mentioned this morning by Joe Scarborough, one of my favorite people, not mentioning trend lines on Drudge Report to highlight the struggles of Donald Trump ahead of this hush money trial in Manhattan. Actually, on yesterday's broadcast, Morning Joe co-host Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski highlighted a Reuters Ipsos poll showing President Joe Biden leading Trump 41-37%. Biden saw an uptick in support since the same poll was conducted in January, while Trump has lost support. The poll also showed a majority believe Trump's charges are serious. One quarter of Trump supporters said they would not support the former president in November if he's serving time in prison. Scarborough used Drudge Report headlines plus the poll to argue the trend lines are all breaking in favor of the president. The top of Drudge on Thursday morning highlighted Trump's upcoming criminal trial and positive polling news for Biden. Headlines included Biden beating Trump in majority of polls. Joe now clear favorite in online bet. Trump's first criminal trial set to begin. And here is how the conversation then went on the Morning Joe broadcast. A conversation between Joe Scarborough and Willie Geist. If we do have that. Maybe not. We'll get to this in a bit. But the trend line, as Joe Scarborough is mentioning, and I just remind you again, one of the things that people all too often are doing is they're dismissing things that you don't necessarily want to hear. I mean, frankly, you know, I'm not a fan. I mean, just being straightforward about this, I'm not a fan of the Scarborough broadcast and Mika Brzezinski. I mean, I find that not only am I not a fan of those two, but I mean, just in general, a lot of these morning shows, I just don't care much for them. I just don't. And especially the leftist ones. They're just absolutely nauseating. And so many times, you know what's really disturbing? How many times these folks have guests on the broadcast, which they have no opposing view whatsoever. It's kind of crazy. The bias on these shows is just straightforward. See, I still... Now, believe me, I'm not putting any money on this, but I'm still at a place where I think it would be really a brilliant idea for one of these leftist networks to put a conservative on, give a real conservative a show. And I honestly think they would be surprised to see the response. I really think they could get an audience, and I can think of several people who would do a really good show. Hey, I'll volunteer. But I don't think there's any interest whatsoever, because these are folks who really do not care about fairness. They don't care about, really providing any diversity of thought. And this is where our country's been for quite a while, with this polarization of media channels. Still to come in the broadcast, we will share the reaction on the Morning Joe broadcast. Also, these folks who are determined to try to undermine the conservative majority on the Supreme Court, now they're calling for one of their own on the Supreme Court to step aside. And this has even some Democrats profoundly baffled. Why in the world are they doing this? Back on the Vince Coakley radio program on this Friday. It's really entertaining to see the jubilation, celebration thus far by people who believe that, you know, the old man, I just was, I saw on social media somebody basically saying that Joe Biden, an interview they were watching, he looked like a sitting cadaver. I mean, but this guy, I mean, in reality, come on, can we be serious about this? In the real world, he should not even be seriously considered as having any possibility of winning re-election. It shouldn't be this close. But the reality is, the numbers have shown a little bit of an uptick, which is a cause for celebration if you are the folks on Morning Joe, like Joe Scarborough and Willie Geist. Here is their conversation yesterday morning.
Willie, you know, we always talk about trend lines. And the trend lines are all breaking Joe Biden's way. I mean, if you look at the top of Drudge, if you're Trump, you probably would jump off the Brooklyn Bridge. I mean, because he's like MAGA meltdown and talks about all the polls breaking in Joe Biden's way. But they are. I mean, the trend lines are pretty strong for Biden coming out of the, again, still coming out of the State of the Union.
Yeah, if you look back at that first, the overall number, you see Joe Biden since January, within the margin of error, kind of at the same spot, if we can look at that first one. There it is. Mm-hmm. What you also see, though, on the bottom is erosion for Donald Trump. And, Donnie, that's part of what the Biden campaign is counting on, which is you see a little bit more of Joe Biden. Yeah. You look at the data. You look at the numbers. Inflation number wasn't great yesterday. We'll get to that. But really, the more Donald Trump is out there, the more he's railing, the more he's in a courtroom, the more you saw it in this number about the hush money trial, which is also an election interference trial, the more the public sees of Donald Trump, the Biden campaign hopes, the less it wants to see him back in the White House.
To be honest with you, I think there's truth in this. Again, I'm not fans of this show or these people, but I think they're raising a valid point. What between now and November is going to make Donald Trump look better? Ask yourself that question. No matter how bad the economy may be, let's say they don't even do interest rates cuts between now and November. You still, I think, the strategy for the Biden people is going to be to stir up the animus against Donald Trump. Donald Trump, as long as he is the issue, he will lose. You can take that to the bank. If the issue is not Joe Biden and this horrible economy and the demise of our standing in the world, I mean, this is no-brainer stuff. If that's not the central focus of attention between now and November, then we are looking at the re-election of a cadaver. I mean, let's just be blunt. I hope that does not happen, but we will see. One of the big issues we see is the Supreme Court, especially leftist women. They are absolutely beside themselves over the loss of Roe versus Wade. And they are desperate to see the court remade from the Republican-produced majority. The Hill has an interesting story. Senate Democrats baffled by calls for Sotomayor to step aside. What is this about? Senate Democrats are pushing back against calls for Justice Sonia Sotomayor to step aside from the Supreme Court after left-wing activists and commentators raised the idea in the hopes of avoiding a repeat of what happened after the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's passing 4 years ago. Sotomayor, she's 69, is the oldest of the three liberal justices, facing calls by some progressives to step down while Democrats hold both the White House and the upper chamber. They liken the situation to when Ginsburg opted not to step down in 2014 while then President Obama could have appointed a successor before passing away in 2020 and then leaving an open seat for former President Trump to fill and cement a 6-3 conservative majority. Those pushing for the Associate Justice to step aside point to a potential health concern as she has type 1 diabetes. The Democrats say they aren't ready for her to depart the court. Senator Peter Welch of Vermont, she's not 70. I might remind some of my colleagues to look around and check their birth certificates. In other words, isn't it ironic you have these old goats behind the scenes concerned about Sotomayor? They need to look in the mirror is what this guy's basically saying. She's going full speed ahead. I'm not aware of significant issues. I am aware of extraordinary competence, he says. This is not an RGB situation. Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Dick Durbin also told reporters he wants her to remain on the high court. A number of Democrats indicated they were floored this conversation's even happening. Sotomayor has given no public signals she's considering such a move or that her health has changed recently. Chris Van Hollen of Maryland, she's doing a great job. She should stay. I'm a little baffled by the chatter. Elizabeth Warren declared the talk is nonsense. Said she was surprised this issue has entered the discourse. Where did this come from? Warren said. I don't want to add any fuel to the fire on this. She's doing a great job. I'm grateful for her public service. Discussion about Sotomayor's future escalated after Senator Richard Blumenthal, a Judiciary Committee member, told NBC News last week Democrats should learn a lesson after what happened with Ginsburg, who was replaced by Justice Amy Coney Barrett shortly before the 2020 election. It's not like there's any mystery here about what the lesson should be. The old saying, graveyards are full of indispensable people, ourselves in this body included, he told the outlet. Those worried about Sotomayor staying on the court are looking to what could be in the offing next year, if everything breaks right for Republicans in November, a White House return by Trump, Senate victories in three red states could give the GOP north of 52 seats. That would give Republicans leeway ahead of what party operatives concede could be a very tough map in 2026, depending on the dynamics. Interesting. Chris warns me. Watch it, Vince. One day, you could be an old goat. Well, let me just tell you, I refuse to be a goat. I'm just telling you. Part of the point that I'm making here, when I make that reference, I'm not making fun of somebody just for being old. That's not the point. The problem is when people are old and they refuse to have the self-awareness to understand that it's time to pass the baton on to a new generation. It's time to get out of the way. That I don't ever want to be. And I'm telling you, Chris, you have my permission. If I ever become that person, I want you to come and pay me a visit and walk me off the stage, wherever I am.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Back in the final stretch of the Vince Coakley radio program, 8 minutes before the hour of 12 noon, and I assume the vote is either underway or about to be underway for the reauthorization of FISA in the House. We'll have updates on what's taking place throughout the day right here on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Let's first go out to a call from Jim, who's been patiently waiting. Good morning, Jim, and welcome.
Vince, I appreciate you taking my call and having been a regular listener to your show, I know you're a man with deep faith in God and the believer in good and evil. And I'm 74, and I voted Republican, and I voted Democrat, and I've had a belief in this country. And sometimes I wonder what the founding fathers who wrote the Constitution would say they could sit down and see what Joe Biden and the Democrats, so-called Democrats, they're not the same Democrats that there were 20 years ago, certainly not my father's Democrats, but what the founding fathers would say if they saw what had been done. And I honestly believe they would have realized they failed to put a fail-safe, a safeguard in the Constitution, which would have allowed possibly for a new election if you had a president who disregarded the law, disregarded Supreme Court rulings. They would have probably stuck something in there that the government would be dissolved within a certain period and a new election being held. So this kind of foolishness would never have occurred. The only thing those gentlemen might have said back in 1787, well, we wouldn't worry about it because we gave the population guns and they could oust that bad man. But what I really wanted to say, you made a comment about Joe Scarborough's program, the trend lines, and what possibly happened. Well, Joe Biden wants to shut down the border. I don't know that he could get much traction out of shutting the border down now. But one thing I do believe they're probably scared of now, and certainly Director Ray has advised them of this, is a possibility which is almost could be a near certainty. We will have coordinated terrorist attacks in this country before the election. If that happens, I don't think Joe Biden has a ghost of a chance, unless he's going to say, well, I shut the border down. I don't know where these people came from. But there's a whole host of things that can happen before that election. Health problems, either candidate, terrorist attacks, the stock market going to pot, inflation skyrocketing. I don't think this election will be determined until Election Day. No one knows what can happen, but I think anything can happen, and I think it's going to be close. But my big concern regarding the forces of good and evil, I don't think the evil in this country is necessarily Joe Biden or Donald Trump. I think the evil is manifested by what we've learned out of NPR recently. It is the willingness of individuals that used to be journalists and journalistic businesses that no longer care. They will cover, they will essentially lie to the American people by either doctoring stories or failing to inform the public of what is actually out there, both sides. If you can't show both sides, then you might as well have a Chinese or a Soviet or a Russian news media. And that's essentially what we're trending to. But so I've said a lot out there, but again, I voted Republican, I voted Democrat, but I've never been more concerned in my life.
Yeah, I hear about
you know, I know and hear your feelings about Donald Trump, and I share many of them. But there is nothing Donald Trump has ever done. It pales in comparison with what this office holder now has allowed to happen to this country by opening that border and allowing millions of people that we don't even know who they are, from China, from Syria, to come into this country. And, you know, there's nothing Donald Trump had ever done close to that. But I'm going to shut up and let you go.
Well, Jim, I absolutely appreciate your perspective, and do call again, certainly before the election, because I'm fully with you that this is going to be an interesting next few months, and who knows how the world will turn. In the meantime, I hope you have a great weekend. Lord willing, we're back on Monday, same time. God bless you. Adios.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.